Take your Bibles tonight. I want you to turn, first of all, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. The title of the sermon tonight is found in this verse. And the title is this, For I Know. For I Know. 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you will, please stand with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to look at verse number 12, where the Bible says this, For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul was a saved man, and Paul said, I know I'm saved. I know God is going to take care of me and in eternity. Now, I want you to turn to another passage of Scripture, if you could, real quickly. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter number 10. When you get to John 10, find verse number 27. John chapter 10, verse number 27. John 10, 27, and it says this, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. The sermon is simple, but it's an important sermon. It's an important doctrine of the Bible. Every once in a while, those of us that know it need to be reminded of it. And sometimes the newer Christians need to be taught the doctrines of the Bible so that they are solid and secure in their Christianity. Holy Spirit of God, control what's said and control what's heard. May I surrender my voice to you now, and may all of us surrender our ears and our perception to you. Help us to be better because we came to church tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Paul was secure in his salvation, and Paul knew that he was. I don't know if you were listening carefully. When we read from the book of John there, notice Jesus said this. He said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He said, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Again, what security, knowing that we're in the hand of God, and he attends to us and takes care of us. I'm going to tell you a story. My dad had years, a long time ago, he bought himself a pontoon. He'd always wanted a pontoon, and had a big old lake that he took it to down in Kentucky. And Dad had told my wife and our kids, he said, if you ever want to go down there and have a little vacation, you get a cabin down there and you can use our pontoon. And so my kids were very, very small, and we went down to the lake, and the pontoon was a rickety old thing. It wasn't nice. It wasn't shiny or anything. But to us, we were just going to have a good time and go out on the pontoon. We're going to let the kids swim a little. They had swam, you know, in a children's swimming pool, but they never swam in a lake. And so we were going to take them swimming. I was just talking to my youngest son about this the other day. Well, I want him to get in the water, and we got everybody in the water except for my youngest son. He told me, he said, I remember it very, very vividly, Dad. I was scared and I didn't want to get in the water. And I said, well, I'll help you. And so I was trying to help him. I had my sunglasses in my pocket, and I remember when I dropped the sunglasses, and they went to the bottom of the lake, and he didn't want to get in that water. I had to get in the water with him, and this is what I said to him. I said, son, hold on to me, and you're going to be fine. And he was terrified. And this is what he said. He said, no, you hold on to me. He was smart enough to know that he couldn't hang on to me and be secure. But he knew if Daddy held on to him, the security of Daddy's strength, which, by the way, folks, I hope you're laughing with me, not at me. But the security of Daddy's strength said to him, then I'll be okay. I want to read to you again, if I may. The Bible says here in John chapter number 10, it says this, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Bible says in verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm saved. I'm in the hand of God. Hey, I'm not hanging on to Him. God's hanging on to me. I can't. You folks, you and I, we couldn't keep ourselves saved, but God can. People say, I don't know if I can hang on. You don't have to hang on. He does the hanging on. You just claim the promise that He's hanging on to you. And it's so well illustrated that when Daddy was hanging on, the security was there. A fundamental Bible doctrine is the doctrine of the security of the saints. Some call it preservation of the saints, if you will, or eternal security, or security of the believer, or once saved, always saved. And you say, you believe that? I absolutely do, without apology and without any reservation. I believe that when somebody gets born again, God saves them, writes their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He doesn't use whiteout or eraser, and there's no delete button involved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Say, do you think you can lose your salvation? No, and I think it is a damnable heresy when someone teaches that you can. I don't think they understand salvation right. Now, well, I tell you though, as a Christian, you can lose some things. You can lose some things. Did you know a Christian can lose their joy? So someone says, well, you believe if once you're saved, you're always saved. That mean that you're going to get off scot-free no matter what you do? Oh, no, there's a lot of loss that can take place, but God's not going to lose your soul. Once you're saved, you're always saved. A Christian can lose their joy. David in the Old Testament, in Psalm 51, verse number 12, the Bible says this, David cried, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. What had happened is David was a saved man, but David had committed adultery, and David had lied, and David had killed Uriah. And then he cries out, and he says, God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He did not say, restore unto me my salvation. Why? He didn't need his salvation restored. His salvation was intact, but he had lost his joy because of his sin. And folks, you won't lose your salvation. If you've prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, He did it, and He saved you all the way. But I'll tell you this, if you sin and you do wrong, you won't be real happy as a Christian, and you will lose your joy. Not only that, I think Christian can lose the fullness of the Spirit in their lives. You take the Old Testament character named Samson. Samson had once known the power of the Holy Spirit of God in his life. It was said more of Samson than any other individual in the entire Bible that the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. But Samson got contrary with God, and Samson got into sin. And the Bible says that Samson lost the power of the Spirit of God in his life. He did not lose his salvation, but he lost the Spirit of God being active and powerful in his life. So when a Christian does wrong, there are things that they lose, but they never lose their salvation. And that they keep that salvation, but they can lose their joy, and they can lose the fullness of the Spirit. Hey, a person can lose close fellowship with God. In Psalm 51, verse 11, again, David cried, he said, cast me not away from thy presence. He didn't say, I lost my salvation. He said, I don't want there to be a distance between myself and God. And when you and I sin, we distance ourselves from God, but we are not kicked out of the family. And so that feeling of distance, and some of you know exactly what that feeling is. When you're not doing right, you feel a distance between you and God. And that's because of our sin. But you have not lost your salvation. There are evangelists that travel the nation, and they report the number of salvations they have as they go to different churches, and they go in and they'll teach that you can lose your salvation. They get the whole church resaved. I got news for you. I would never have an evangelist like that in my church. I need them to come in and help the people to believe the promise of God where we have security in salvation. Now we can lose our joy. We can lose the fullness of the Spirit. We can lose a close fellowship with God. But you're never kicked out of the family. Once you've been born again, that's sealed. And, you know, a Christian can lose their influence. There are people in this room. Maybe at one time you were influential. People, they would look at you as an example of what a Christian ought to be. Maybe they looked to you for Christian leadership, but now you've kind of soiled your reputation some, and you're not serving God like you ought to. What's happened? You've lost some of your influence. You say, well, what do I do about that? Well, you step up and get your heart right, and you confess your sin and clean your life up, and you can rebuild that influence. But there's no such thing as rebuilding your salvation, because your salvation, and that's God hanging on to you, not you hanging on to God, and it's a promise of God. A Christian can lose their peace. It's very clear in the Bible. There's a peace that comes with being saved, and there's a peace that comes when we live for God. There's a peace that you have within yourself. There's a peace with and for God. But our sin creates a lack of peace. Sin brings a war, and there is a war on the carnal side of us and the spiritual side of us, and we don't want the carnal side of us to win that war. When we sin, our peace is depleted. When we sin, our peace is weakened. But our salvation is not weakened, because our salvation is not dependent on us. Our salvation is dependent on God, and God never loses His peace. We may lose ours. So as a Christian, I could lose my joy. As a Christian, I could lose the fullness of the Spirit. As a Christian, I could lose close fellowship with God. As a Christian, I could lose my influence for Jesus. As a Christian, I could lose my peace. Hey, folks, so you know, as a Christian, you can lose your reward. The Bible's very clear on the teaching. The Bible teaches us that there are rewards that are given to the Christian for their service to God. But we can lose those rewards because of our misbehaviors and not doing right. But salvation is not a reward. Salvation was a gift. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, the Bible says. You don't lose your salvation when you do wrong. You may lose some other rewards. The Bible teaches there are crowns that are given to the Christian in service. We might lose some crowns, but we're never going to lose the fact that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's there, and it's there permanently. And so the Christian may lose rewards, the Christian may lose peace, the Christian may lose influence, the Christian may lose close fellowship with Jesus, a Christian may lose fullness of the Spirit or joy. But folks, a Christian cannot lose their salvation. And that's not based on Jeff Owens, that's based on the Scripture. Let me tell you why. First of all, a Christian cannot lose their salvation because God Himself said so. Listen to John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now that word man there, it's not masculine, it's mankind. If you are a part of mankind, could you raise your hand for a moment? All right, you can put your hand down. It's saying you can't take you out of the hand of God. Not even you. Because remember, it's not me hanging on to Him, it's Him hanging on to me. Now, I don't have a real good grip. Remember the story of my son. He said, no, Daddy, you hang on to me. Listen, I look up my Heavenly Father, I said, I'd like to think I could hang on, but Daddy, you hang on to me. And God does. A Christian can't lose their salvation because God Himself said so. Let me read to you John 5:24. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me, that's salvation, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's security. That right there. You shall not. Not there's a possibility, shall not. Now some of you, somewhere along the line, better be careful. You pick up some doctrine that makes you think you can lose your salvation. That is a lie out of hell. That's how the devil gets Christians defeated. In Jude, verse number 24, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's keeping you from falling from your salvation. Now, God's not going to stop you from falling into being backslidden, but He is not going to let you fall from salvation to being lost. He's going to present you faultless, not because of you, but because of the purity you took on in Jesus Christ at the time of your salvation. So, a Christian can't lose their salvation because God Himself says so in John 10:28 and John 5:24 and Jude 24. And I could go on and on and on and give you scripture all night that God said so, but not only that. A Christian can't lose his salvation because the life that God gives is eternal life. And the life that God gives is everlasting life. Just listen to the words. John 3:16. Even lost people can quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, that's salvation, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise. You trust Christ, and you get everlasting life. Everlasting is the length. You get saved, from that point on, you're saved. You're not going to lose that. That is the duration of salvation. Then, in John 3:15, not only does it say everlasting life, He said that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, hey, there's a double blessing. God said, I'm going to give you everlasting life, and it's going to be eternal life. Now, those words are not exactly the same. Now, they're interconnected a little bit, but they're not exactly the same. Eternal life is a quality. That quality includes a duration, and the duration is forever. So, we get this forever life, but it is of a super high quality, not just the length, but the quality of the life, as I mentioned, in heaven is going to be fantastic. John 3:36 says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know what that means? You're either saved or you're lost. And if you're saved, it says you have. What that means is you have now eternal life. You have it right now. That is a perfect quality of forever life. And the difference between the two is one thing. If you believed on Christ and been saved, you have eternal life. If you have not believed on Christ, you are under condemnation and you're lost and you'll go to hell. But if you're saved, it's yours forever. You can't lose your salvation because God Himself said so. You can't lose your salvation because God promised said we have eternal life. And we have everlasting life. Thirdly, a Christian cannot lose their salvation because we are kept by God. We're kept by God. 1 Peter 1:5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The word kept here is the word guard. You understand? Your salvation and my salvation, according to that verse, is guarded by Jesus Christ. Like a sentinel, He marches around protecting our salvation. Jesus guards His children and their salvation and their eternal destiny. That, when it says, who are kept by the power of God, that's God hanging on to me. That's not me hanging on to God. Someone said, well, I'll go to heaven if I can hang on. Well, you're a dumb bunny. You're not going to hang on. You need God hanging on to you, not you hanging on to God. The only thing I got to do is claim the promise that if I ask Jesus to save me, I get everlasting life, I get eternal life, and from that point, I'm placed into the hand of God, and no man can pluck me out of His hand. Now listen. God keeps your salvation. But wait a minute. You keep your joy. But God keeps your salvation. You keep the fullness of the Spirit in your life. God keeps your salvation. You keep close fellowship with God. God keeps your salvation. You keep your influence healthy for God. God keeps your salvation. You keep your peace active with God. God keeps your salvation. You keep the reward that's given to you. God keeps your salvation. You say, why is that? Because God knew we'd mess it up. God loves us. God wants us in heaven. And God said, I'm not going to let you work for it, and I'm going to let you be responsible for it after I give it to you. Why? He knew mankind. He knew man would mess it up, and God loves us too much. Once He buys us back or gets us back, He's going to keep us in the fold. Now, that doesn't mean we're to go do whatever we want. The Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What He's saying there is, you're saved and I'll save you. But He said, now you ought to keep yourself full of the Holy Spirit. You ought to keep your peace and keep your rewards. But God doesn't take your salvation from you. And so, a Christian cannot lose their salvation because God said so. A Christian cannot lose their salvation because the promise was for eternal life and everlasting life. A Christian cannot lose their salvation because we are kept by God. God guards our salvation. A Christian cannot lose their salvation because the Bible says when we get saved, we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now I'm going to take a minute and describe this in a little bit of detail. When you got saved, you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, came into your heart. And God said, the moment you ask Him in, God sealed Him in there. Now, when God seals something, it's sealed all the way. He's sealed in there, and no man's hand can break that seal. That's what it means in John 10. No man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. Let me read to you from Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. There are five things that sealing accomplishes. When you seal something up, there's some things that it accomplished. And the very same things that would happen in an earthly fashion in regard to something that's sealed is what happens in a heavenly fashion. When our salvation, when the Holy Spirit was given to us, God sealed that. And let me show you. For instance, a seal preserves something. Mrs. Owens, she'll get some green beans or something, and we call it canning or putting them up. And what happens is she puts those green beans in a jar, in a mason jar, and we put it in hot water, and they're sealed. What's she doing? She is preserving what's in that jar. Now, God said, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That's when we get to heaven and Jesus opens the jar. But we are sealed. That is a sign of preservation. I don't think God seals the jar, opens the jar, seals the jar, opens the jar, seals the jar, opens the jar. He's not all day long sealing jars and opening jars. He said, I saved you, I sealed you, I'm going to keep you that way till you get to heaven. The seal is a preserver, but not only that. The seal prevents the contents from being harmed. In other words, there, we put those green beans in there. It keeps things from the outside from contaminating what's on the inside because it's sealed. And you and I, our souls are preserved. They're sealed. That way the contaminants don't mess it up. We're on our way to heaven. We're sealed in there. For instance, a letter is sealed to prevent anyone from opening it or hurting its contents. Now, so I've been sealed. I'm sealed, and what's inside me, that Holy Spirit of God, my salvation, it's all sealed up. And it's preserved in that sealing. Then, a seal is it's used for the presentation of a gift, for instance. You know, did you know this? We are a gift from Jesus Christ to God the Father. And we are sealed until the day of redemption. That's the day that God opens the package in heaven. We're a gift from Jesus to the Father. He wrapped us. He sealed us. We're going to carry all the way through to heaven, and you're not going to be opened until God the Father opens you in heaven. That's what it means by being sealed unto the day of redemption. Listen to this. I love this verse. Jude 24 says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you, there's the present, faultless before the presence of His glory. My salvation is Jesus giving His Heavenly Father a gift. I am sealed. I will be opened by the Father someday. Let me give you something else that a seal does. A seal has something to do with a destination. It means it's not going to be opened until it arrives at the proper destination. Folks, we cannot be opened until we arrive at God. You say, why? We belong to God. It's God's name that's on the outside of the envelope, and Jesus is going to ship us to heaven, and God's going to say, hey, that belongs to me. Then He breaks the seal in heaven. That is the security of our salvation. Let me give you one other application. So, this sealed unto the day of redemption, it's preservation. It keeps the contents from being harmed. It is a presentation of a gift. It's a presentation that's going to a specific destination. And then finally, a seal is for possession. Only one owner can open it. You know, you can go down to the post office and they will tell you when something is addressed to someone, it's illegal for anybody else to open it up. Yet the only person that's supposed to open it is the person's name who's on the front of it, which means the owner sealed it, put the name of the recipient on the front, and the only person that's allowed to open that is the person's name who is on the front. You know whose name is on the front of your envelope? God. God. So what's going to happen? Jesus saved you, sealed you. He's sending you to heaven. When you get there, the only person that can open you up, that is you. The Bible says that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's the day you get to heaven. God gets to pop the seal, and by that time, you're in heaven. So, don't forget, we can lose. Hey, we can lose our joy. We can lose fullness of the Spirit. We can lose closeness with Jesus, our influence. We can lose our peace, our reward. But you're not going to lose your salvation. You say, why? Because God Himself promised us that we had salvation eternally. We can't lose our salvation because it's eternal life and everlasting life. We don't lose our salvation because we are kept by God. We don't lose our salvation because we are sealed unto the day of redemption. And not only that, we do not lose our salvation because Jesus is our advocate. Now, don't let the word advocate trip you up. That word advocate is, he's our intercessor, he's our defender, he's our lawyer. And just so you all know, he's never lost a case. He's our lawyer. He's our salvation lawyer, if you will. The devil comes along, you're saved, and the devil comes along and he tries to make some accusations against you to God. And the devil comes along and says, you listen to me. I know that guy right there. I know that girl right there. They're not perfect. They make mistakes. And Jesus steps up and he says that someone right there is saved and they are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God the judge says, innocent. Because He's our advocate. In 1 John 2:1 it says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus is our eternal security representative. Jesus is our eternal security lawyer. He's our intercessor. He is our defender. Jesus intercedes for us when the devil tries to muddy our name. Now, here it says, my little children. You understand, if it's talking about children, talk about the children of God. That's the people that are saved. It says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. So he said, don't sin. He said, and if any man sin, in other words, we're going to make mistakes, we're going to sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What's that advocate do? That advocate says, oh, they may lose their joy, huh? They may lose some rewards, huh? They may lose some peace, huh? They may lose the whole the fullness of the Spirit, but they cannot lose their salvation. They're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Done deal. They can't be opened until they get to heaven, and Jesus Himself sealed the envelope, and you get to go to heaven. So you don't lose your salvation. You don't lose your salvation. Now, you say, well, what should this cause? Let me tell you then, and I'm almost finished. There's something that you and I should do in regard to this teaching. Let me tell you, first of all, everybody here, there's only one person that knows for a fact whether you're saved or not, and that's you. That's you. Can I highly recommend to everybody here that you know that you are saved? I don't try to get saved people to doubt their salvation. I want them secure in the Lord. But you need to make sure that you're saved. You just make sure of that. Once you're saved, according to the Bible, you're always saved. Now, secondly, may I recommend a God that would save us and keep us? It would seem like we would want to serve Him with our whole heart. I know the human race thinks this way, and I know Christians think this way, but there are some people that say, well, He saved me, I've got security of believer. If I misbehave, it doesn't matter. That breaks my heart that people think that way. You know what I think? I think any God that would save us and keep us saved deserves that we do all we can to live right. You don't live right to get saved. You live right because you are saved. He doesn't take your salvation away from you. But you know, you and I, we ought to want to serve this God and be pure and as holy as we can. Look, He gave us salvation and He sealed it so we can never lose it. I think we owe it to Him to live right. But I said, number one, make sure you're saved. Number two, live right because of this precious gift that's been given to you. Thirdly, hey folks, let's work so that we don't lose our rewards. Let's work at it so we don't lose our joy. Let's work at it so we don't lose our peace. Let's work at it so we have spirit fullness. Let's work at it so we keep our influence intact. Let's work at it so we're close to God. You don't have to have any of those things, but God sure wants you to have all those things. Now, if you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. But you know, there are some people that are on their way to heaven because they got saved, and they're a little bit miserable along the way. Why? They're living like they have no sense. They're not living according to the Bible. Live according to the Bible so that you do have your joy and you do have your peace. That you do have that closeness to God. So remember, make sure you're saved. Secondly, live right because of the great gift that's been given to you. Thirdly, work at not losing your joy, your peace, the influence that God gives us. Folks, everybody here, you ought to thank God for this salvation that we've been given. Thank God. I am so glad that God set it up so once we got saved, He sealed us, that it is eternal. I don't know about you, but I can testify for me. I'd have to be getting saved every 2 minutes. I don't think God wanted to deal with me. He took care of me. And now God hates sin and God wants you to live right and you will shortchange your life if you live in sin and you play around with sin. But your salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. Now, don't go around spending your time doubting everybody's salvation and you shouldn't go around spending time doubting your own. The devil comes along and he tries to steal victory from us. He wants to get us depressed about our lives and get us depressed about our salvation. Look, if you can go back to a time when you got born again, God saved you that day. You say, but I haven't hung on to the things of God very well. You don't hang on to the things of God for salvation. God hangs on to you. You hang on to the things of God for your joy, for your peace, for your influence, but not for your salvation. Then let me conclude by saying this. This wonderful salvation, eternal life, everlasting life, this salvation that was paid for by another but received by us, it's as wonderful as the Bible explains it, which means this, you and I ought to be helping others to get saved. We ought to be influencing other people to receive this wonderful salvation. We ought to want other people to know about Jesus. There are people under the sound of my voice. You know how to win others to Christ. You know how to take a Bible and show them that everyone's a sinner. And you can show them that there's a penalty for sin. And you can show them that Jesus paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. You can show people that they need to reach out to Jesus and ask Him to forgive them of their sins and come into their heart and be their Savior. You know how to win someone to Christ. You ought to do it. Why? The salvation is a wonderful thing and they could get saved and go to heaven. Now, there's some of you say, preacher, I'm not really sure I could win someone to Jesus. I don't know the scripture real well. You just go out to our track rack out there. You grab you up some tracts and you start shoving those tracts in people's hands because the plan of salvation is right on the back of it. None of us have any excuse for not telling other people about this wonderful thing called salvation. It's ours, and it's not really hard to present, but we've got it printed on those things are about the size of a 3x5 card. You just grab one up, you hand it to someone, say, if you'll read and do what the back of that tract says, you can go to heaven someday when you die. Folks, I call the sermon, For I Know. I do not mean what I'm about to say to seem vain. I don't want it to seem that way, but I will tell you something. I remember the day I got saved. I know I got saved that day. I have never doubted it from that day. I was taught this scripture when I got saved. I claimed this scripture. And I believe when I got saved, I got saved. Now, I've lost my joy at times. I've lost rewards at times. I've lost influence. I've lost everything you could lose, but I never lost my salvation. It's always been intact. My part, I goof it up royal. God ain't ever goofed up anything. He saved me. I didn't save me. He keeps me. I don't keep me. I look to heaven and I say, I don't want to have to hang on to you, Daddy. Daddy, you hang on to me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I would recommend to you that you get born again. Settle it once and for all. You say, well, preacher, sometimes I have doubts. Well, the devil, he can be pretty tricky about it. But if you can go in your mind's eye to a time when you asked Jesus to save you, God did the saving and that's settled. Even when you have your doubts, God doesn't have any doubts. If you sincerely ask him to save you, he saved you. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there's no eraser. There's no delete button on that book. It's there. Is there somebody here tonight who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Will you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I don't know that I'm saved. I see a hand. You may put that hand down. If you're not saved and you need to be saved, in a minute we're going to have an altar call. You leave your seat, you walk toward the front, we'll take a Bible and show you how you can be born again, and you can leave this building tonight on your way to heaven. You'll have eternal life, everlasting life. You'll have a life that will never be taken from you because God gives it to you as a gift. There are other Christians in the house. Maybe you've lost some joy, some influence. Maybe there's some things going on in your life where things are not right. Maybe you need to fix some of those things. All of us should glorify God that our salvation is eternally secure in the hand of Almighty God. Who here would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart tonight. Something about this sermon, God has spoken to me, and I want God to know it. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? If you need the altar, I want you to feel free to come. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, that the pianist will begin to play. Maybe you need to come and thank God for that salvation. Boy, I'm grateful. I could mess it up over and over again. And I need a soul winner, if I could, please. I need a lady soul winner. Mrs. Ellswick, if you will. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and we'll show you how to be saved. But you have to get my attention. If you're a Christian, thank God for your salvation. Thank God He keeps it. I don't know if your testimony would be like mine, but boy, I'm glad God did all the saving because I would have messed it up. I couldn't have saved myself in the first place, but even if I had, I couldn't have kept myself. I already know that. I'm glad I'm saved. Some of you young people that have been in church for a long time, I want you to stop and ask yourself tonight, has there been a time when you seriously asked the Lord to save you? Because salvation is not something you play with. Salvation is not a game. You're not trying to impress everybody. You're not trying to please everybody else with salvation. You're trying to keep yourself out of hell. You better make sure there's been a time when you asked Jesus to save you and you meant it. And if you did, you're saved. It's settled. Now,
just keep the rewards right, and you keep your heart right, and you keep your peace right, and your joy right. But salvation's a big deal. The altar call will continue. We have someone that's learning what it takes to receive the free gift. When was the last time you thanked God for your salvation? When's the last time you knelt on your knees and were honest with God? Good thing He did the safing, isn't it? Good thing He does the keeping. Thank God I got me a lawyer. My lawyer is Jesus Christ. He's my advocate. He's my go-between. When the devil comes and starts throwing rocks at old Jeff Owens, Jesus steps up and says, "That's my child right there. That's my child. I may not be perfect, but I'm in the hand of a perfect God, and that'll carry me from this life into the next. I'm sealed into the day of redemption." The piano will continue and will continue while someone learns of salvation. I can lose my joy. I can lose the Spirit's fullness. I can lose a close fellowship with God. I can lose influence. I can lose peace and reward. But I can't lose a salvation. I didn't work to get it. I don't work to keep it. I received it as a gift. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. I have to be honest with you. To me, from what I can tell, there are some people that believe you work for your salvation. You know something I've noticed? People that know salvation is a free gift, and the people I've been associated with through the years, they live more holy lives, more separated lives than the people that say they're working their way to heaven. I don't get that. There are people out there say they're working their way to heaven. They live in the world and act like the world and everything else. We know we're saved by grace through faith, and we're more separated from the world. And let me tell you why. We are so appreciative for the gift that we've been given, it just makes sense to live for the one that saved us eternally. They have a hard time. They have a hard time living right. They missed the gift of salvation. And again, I'll say it. The greatest heresy on the face of the earth is work salvation. Anybody that teaches you have to work to get to heaven, that spits in the face of Jesus Christ. And you know that when someone teaches you can lose your salvation, they're associating salvation with works. You must have to work to keep it. Well, you didn't work to get it, or did you? Salvation is a gift, and it's a precious gift.